It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theroux has the day off. Mary Jo Foley's here with Brad Sams, formerly of NeoWin, now of Petri.com and Theroux.com. We'll talk about, well, right off the top, I want to know, where's the update for my Surface Book? Also, new Windows 10 news and lots of Windows Mobile news. It's all next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, everybody. It's time for our annual audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It helps us understand our audience better, know what you like and don't like, how you listen to the show. It also helps us tell advertisers what kind of people listen. But I promise you, your feedback is always kept personally anonymous. All you have to do is visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It'll just take a few minutes, and it'll help us make TWiT even better. We really appreciate your support and any help you can give us. twit.tv/survey. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley, episode 453, recorded Wednesday, February 17th, 2016. Hashtag hotbag. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service and the most sophisticated way to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit Wealthfront.com/windows and sign up to get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's Wealthfront.com/windows. And by Squarespace. Squarespace is the simplest way to create a beautiful website. Plus, with a developer's platform, you could customize the code behind any Squarespace design. Enter the offer code Windows and get 10% off Squarespace. You should. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. Time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about the latest Microsoft news. Mary Jo Foley is here from allaboutmicrosoft.com, her ZDNet page where she publishes the big scoops on Microsoft. And Paul is not here. Where did we lose Mr. Theroux?
Paul's wandering around New York City.
Well, that's not far. Can he just come
with
over?
With his family. Oh. He's got his family. They're on vacation.
Vacation?
Vacation. Remember that thing? Vacation.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
You know, good for him.
In fact, I just saw them for lunch.
Oh, good. Okay.
So they're doing well.
Well, you've got an excellent fill-in host. Do you want to introduce Indeed. Brad Sams?
Brad Sams filling in for Paul from Petri.
I think everybody knows Brad's name, right?
They should know him.
Yeah.
I've been around for a while.
Executive editor. Yeah. Formerly at NeoWin, now at Petri with Paul, and doing a great job on the new site.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Executive editor at Petri.com and Theroux.com. So, where should we begin? You want to start with first of all,
I think we should start mobile.
Let's acknowledge that last week we maybe spent a little too much time on Android. And I take the blame on that. Mary Jo, are you still trying the...
I am.
What did he give you?
I'm testing out 5X? The Nexus 5X. Yeah. Still using it this week, people. So don't freak out when you see me post on Untapped using Android. I'm still testing it, but I have not switched over to it. I'm still a Windows Phone user. Just seeing what's out there just in case.
I don't think that you're being, unfaithful to Windows. No. Microsoft apparently considers Android a legitimate platform because they make all their apps for it. And I think anybody who covers Microsoft should at least have familiarity with both iOS and Android because so much of Microsoft's on iOS and Android.
There's some great Microsoft apps on this phone. I've been really impressed, especially Microsoft Account, which is only on Android and not on Windows Phone.
Don't you love that?
Yep. I think the authentication
it lets you log in by just using the app instead of all the lengthy process I just went through a few minutes ago off the air of logging in with my password and the authenticator. It's instead of an authenticator, and it's a great solution. And I think there's probably a technical reason why it's not on Windows Phone, but I don't know. But
I don't know either.
I think that's the kind of thing it's not on iOS either, right? I think it's the kind of thing you can do on Android easily, maybe. Don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not on iOS. But yeah, I really like that. I've liked the quality of the Microsoft apps on Android. I'm happy I've gotten to try them out.
Although Brad and
don't be haters, people.
Don't be haters. Brad and I agree that because I had to I'm rebuilding my machine. My iMac died, but so I'm using OneNote on the iPad Pro. And Brad and I was like impressed. Brad said you said it's like the best version of OneNote.
It's really one of those awkward conversations you have when you're talking about Microsoft, because if somebody comes to you and says, where are you going to get the best Microsoft mobile experience? As Mary Jo Foley is kind of hinting at, it's not necessarily on Windows Phone. And we see that because the apps come out generally on other platforms. And if you truly want to be on the leading edge of Microsoft apps, at least of what they're releasing, their garage apps, Fetch came out last week. It's always on iOS. And so you almost... not that they would ever admit it, but you kind of see this preference that they give, at least towards iOS on the early releases. But obviously, Android gets them very quickly, and Windows Phone, hopefully, is kind of the conversation.
Someday, maybe, possibly.
Yep.
I just want to point out that somebody at Microsoft is using iOS. It's not just it's not just Mary Jo. Somebody's...
Their Office team, I mean, they use everything, right?
Yeah,
they have to.
Of course they do.
They should, and they have to.
Yeah.
Office team, they're using a lot of iOS and Android. And if you haven't tried it, the Outlook app on Android and iOS is amazing.
I would wonder what would happen if you put out a bounty to take a photo of what phone Satya uses on every single day.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, he says he uses Windows Phone.
I'd use a Lumia 1520. That just shows. In fact, that's what I use.
Yeah,
it just shows you how.
I'm sure he uses a Windows Phone, but the way you see him talk about an iPhone makes you just kind of wonder.
Didn't
if he's
say
a little...
though when he was using that iPhone? Oh, I borrowed this. He made a point of saying that, right?
Yep. Yeah, he had been run through the PR. Gauntlet before.
This isn't mine.
Right.
But he doesn't.
I'm holding it for a friend.
He doesn't do what Steve Ballmer does, which is grab it from the somebody in the audience and stomp on it either. So
he's a realist, right? He knows.
Yeah. He has to be. He has to be for the role that he is in.
So there is a new, we should say, there is a new Windows Phone.
Right. We have Windows Phone news, people. Don't panic this week.
Unto us, a Lumia is born.
Yeah, so it was a Lumia 650 was quietly announced, and I say quietly because I think most of us, at least on this show, were sleeping when Microsoft actually pushed the announcement. It went very early, and I believe that's mostly because it's only going to be sold in Europe, and it is called the Lumia 650. And what drives me nuts about this phone, to go down that bent, is Microsoft just pitching this as a business phone. And it comes with a 5-inch 720p AM OLED display, 1.3 gigahertz Snapdragon, gig of RAM, and they pitch it as a business phone, primarily, I believe, because of the price. It's going to be roughly $199 US or less. But for a business phone, it does not support Continuum, and it doesn't support facial recognition or Windows Hello login.
Interesting.
Right.
You know, I've noticed that some business, like the BlackBerries, don't have fingerprint readers either, and I think that that's probably constraints of the the IT department in enterprises. Mary Jo, is that
true? Yeah, that's true.
They don't want these alternative authentication systems. They maybe don't trust
them. The other interesting thing about this phone is that it's very much like the Lumia 830, where it has this metal band that goes around the exterior. And which is great. It's a entry-level phone, but then you look at the company's flagship, like the 950 here, and it's all plastic.
Yeah.
So you kind of get this mixed message that, is this phone actually feel a little bit more premium than it is, which is great, but then you look at their flagship and it's a little bit inverse.
Yeah. I'm not a person who judges it by the plastic or the metal anymore, because I feel like you can put a nice case on the 950 and make it feel really premium.
Right.
I just like that it was light. That was my biggest takeaway on the 950. After using the icon.
I'll be curious to see how this one gets received by the market. Europe generally has a little bit better penetration rate with the OS.
Right, this is Europe only, right?
Yeah. So far, that's what they've said. It's select European countries.
Right.
So I'll be curious to see what it actually does over there. I honestly hope it does well, and I hope it kind of gives them a little surge, but I'm not holding my breath too much on this one.
No. No. I think I saw someone, I forget which site this was, saying it was a Microsoft official saying the reason that we didn't include some of those features is we wanted to make it an affordable business phone.
Yeah.
Which? Is that something business demands?
I've questioned this for a little bit. We talk about how these phones are business phones. The last couple of companies I've been through and just hung out with, companies really aren't so much supplying phones anymore. I don't know if I'm completely out of touch, but it seems like most people have smartphones these days and they just get provisioned on the corporate network.
Yeah, they bring their own device, right.
It's not like the old days. My first job out of college, I walked in the door and during, new user onboarding, they handed me a BlackBerry and said, here's your work phone.
Right.
I don't really know if that happens so much anymore, at least at a scale to warrant this.
I think it still does happen where companies give you a device, but probably, like you're saying, probably less.
The few people I know with company phones, it's either a BlackBerry or a cheap Samsung. It's cheap, right? Mm-hmm. It's more for at least the people I know about a business phone number,
right?
And I guess clearly segregating business from personal information is part of it as well, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll see. It was very interesting how they announced it the week before Mobile World Congress.
Yeah.
It was, what time was it? It was like in the middle of the night for us on the U.S. coast, which didn't really matter because it's not for us, but very low-key announcement.
Isn't that interesting?
Quiet.
Wow.
And so what I wonder if this counts towards, you remember they talked very publicly about how they were limiting the number of phones that are going to be coming out this year. And so I thought they said more like two flagships, two middle, and then two low-end. So I wonder if they are considering this one of their phones that they're going to release on an annual basis.
Right.
I don't know. Just
and then there are the questions. Is this the last Lumia? The last phone-branded Lumia?
That's a very good question.
We don't know. Yeah.
Oh, this would be the fine. And then Surface would be the next?
We
going forward.
Think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. They better not use Xbox.
That would be funny.
There's no rumor on that, is there?
No. But I don't know what other brand they could use for
bad choice for the business phone. Yeah, you're getting an Xbox phone. Oh, goody. It doesn't do anything, but you're getting it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Paul would be fooled by that if it had a Call of Duty skin on it. And,
he'd be all over it.
Yeah, he'd say, I'll buy that.
Buy five.
Yeah. the Xbox phone Elite. That's all you have to do. Microsoft Mexico. What's this story? We're very international.
So this came out this morning. Microsoft Mexico. Now, we need to put a little caveat on this because back in December, another Microsoft subsidiary said that they were going to push out Windows 10 Mobile in December. And then nothing happened in January. Now, Microsoft Mexico is saying February 29th, existing Windows Phone 8 devices will get Windows 10 Mobile if your phone is approved and all the other caveats that come with releasing an operating system. So we'll see if this actually happens. I had heard previously that February was the month that it was going to happen, but knowing Microsoft, they are very quick to push things back if it's not going well, especially here, because they really don't have a lot to lose at this point. So we'll be curious to see if this one actually sticks, but hopefully they do.
Do you think it extends beyond Mexico? I mean, is this a bellwether for, everybody, right?
Yeah, that's the date they're saying Microsoft and partners might start pushing Windows 10 Mobile to some existing Windows handset users. But again, we don't know how that rollout schedule looks. Like, how long is Verizon going to wait to give it to us with the icon? We don't know.
As long as possible.
Hey, don't laugh.
No, it's so just because I know it's
true. That's
just
like the start date, right? Supposed start date. We don't know if this is true, just to be clear.
You'd have to think, too, that this kind of announcement really is only going to impact the entry-level devices. Because if you're an enthusiast, if you have an icon or any of the higher-end phones, you're either already in the Insider program or you bought the latest and greatest and you already have Windows 10 Mobile. So I would think that this is primarily going to only impact the 5 series, maybe the 6 series devices that are people who are still running Windows Phone 8.
I don't know. I'm one of those people, so I have the icon. I'm still running Windows Phone 8.
You are a soldier.
I am one of them. But I think there are a lot of us because some people are just like, hey, you know what? The preview is interesting, but this is my only phone. And for me, it is my only real phone. So I don't want to mess that phone up by running preview builds. I think there are a lot of us. So we're interested to see when Windows 10 Mobile comes. I can wait, but... I mean, if you think about it, people always say to me, I can't wait anymore for Windows 10 Mobile. But is there any feature or set of features in there that you're dying to get? You're not going to get Continuum.
Nope.
Oh, that's hardware, really, not software. Yeah,
right. You're not going to get Hello either.
Right. Hardware.
Right. So what do you like so hot to get that you can't wait, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Although I think that's probably why people are running Windows. I mean, if you're running Windows Phone, to be honest, I mean, what, you're the 1% now, 1.5%? So it's a small market share. They're probably just enthusiasts that just for the sake of it want it. But you're right. You really don't get much. You get a slightly polished, updated interface, but it's purely eye candy at that point. There's nothing else that really kind of attracts you to it, at least not for me.
Yeah.
And this we should have mentioned when Mary Jo was trying to explain why she's using Android.
Well, this is an interesting story. So
74 OEMs are bundling Microsoft software.
Okay, this is interesting. So last year, Microsoft started doing deals with different Android makers where they said, you know what, we're going to do a deal where you preload certain Microsoft apps and services on your devices. And this included things like PowerPoint, Word, Excel, Outlook, OneNote, Skype, OneDrive. And last year, Microsoft had 31 OEMs who had already signed on to do this. Well, they've added since then about 40 more. And last week, they announced one of the big names that they've just added is Acer. Acer is going to be adding preloaded Microsoft apps to their tablets, phones, sometime soon. That's all we know, sometime soon. Microsoft won't give us the whole list of 74. So if you're wondering who else is on there, we don't know. I mean, we do know there are some big names like Samsung, Dell, Pegatron. All of those are already announced. Asus. But the one interesting thing I found out about these deals is we are not exactly sure if this is the case, but it feels like Microsoft is doing kind of a tit-for-tat exchange with these deals. So they're saying, hey, you owe us Android patent royalties, right, guys? So how about if we do a deal where you put our apps on your devices and we'll do some kind of a patent thing with you? So it seems like now those patent exchange deals that Microsoft's been doing with the Android vendors are tied up in this kind of a new partnership where they're preloading the apps too.
That's a small price to pay if that's all you have to do. That's not.
I know. We don't know if they're still charging beyond that. I would guess they're still charging them something.
Didn't we say they were getting $5 a phone?
Oh, man, they were getting a lot. Like, yeah. Samsung alone was paying $1 billion to Microsoft for the patents. So we don't know how much of a discount you get if you also agree to do the app part, but it does seem very tightly linked, these new preloading deals with the Android vendors and the patent deals.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. And do we know what the apps and services are? I mean, it's iCloud. I mean, OneDrive.
It's like OneDrive.
Is it
OneNote
in there?
Skype.
Yeah, Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Yep.
Yeah. So it's all mobile. Is it always the same set, or is it a various?
It seems to vary a bit. Like some people are picking up Outlook, some aren't. But mostly that kind of standard set of apps and services, including the Office apps and Skype.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I think that's fine. I don't have a problem. Can you?
Yeah. I mean, you don't
have
to use them.
Can you
delete
them?
You can.
You should be able to.
Sometimes when OEMs bundle stuff, and carriers for that matter, you're stuck with it.
No, I'm pretty sure you can.
If you can delete them, then no harm, no foul. Big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and it's interesting because we're unusual. I don't know about you, Mary Jo. I'm unusual, and I bet Brad is too, in that we install a lot of apps.
Right.
But I think it's generally the case that most normal users just use what the phone came with.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so it's really important to get those apps on there if they're gonna, mm-hmm. if you're going to get a chance to show them to anybody.
Right.
And most users, I would think, would love to see Skype on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Right. Skype is one of those things I think a lot of people use. I mean, I complain about it a lot, but I really can't get away from it.
You're using it right now, buddy boy. You're soaking
it. I am. Yeah. It hasn't crashed. This is a good day. It's the one app I'm surprised they haven't included, at least I haven't seen it too much, is their Outlook email app. That's a really good app. I use it every day, and once you get used to it, you can't go back. But
by the way,
I don't know if
it's not the same as the Outlook email app on Windows.
Correct. This is the Accompli
app. This is the good one.
This is the one that they bought because it was good.
And I like Outlook on iOS and Android. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised if they're not bundling that. I haven't seen it. So that's why it's kind of, now that we're talking about it, it's like, well, why aren't they doing that? I wonder if the email is a sticking point with some of these vendors.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah, Acer is picking up Outlook, the new Outlook.
Are they?
Yep.
Gotcha. Well, that's good.
Well, lot of vendors have their own email browser, and they like Samsung really wants you to use their browser, their email, their everything. They don't like you to use anybody else's stuff, Google or Microsoft.
Yeah.
But if it saves them $5 a handset, I'm all in. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Why not? Now, because Samsung's been struggling the past, 12 months or so?
Is Samsung one of the 74?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that is.
Of course they are. Of course they are. Doesn't matter if you don't get Samsung.
Right.
Bet Google's not
Samsung
in that list.
Samsung was one of the... No, Google's not. Samsung was one of the first.
Little Nokia news. Didn't think we'd be doing much Nokia news today, but yes, there is some Nokia news.
Yeah.
Or as we say, Nokia.
Nokia.
Right?
So this actually is kind of related to the Windows Phone news, which is that Microsoft still, and this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone who listens to the show, but Microsoft is still trimming costs around Windows Phone at this point. Just when you thought they couldn't trim anymore, they're still trimming. Last year, they cut they cut 7,800 people at Microsoft. And many of those people were people who had formerly worked at Nokia who came over with the acquisition. A Finnish newspaper last week reported it seems like there's still more job cuts coming. And it's not thousands this time, but it's still, I guess they said dozens. Dozens of people who are brought over as part of the acquisition by Microsoft of Nokia are now being cut. Many of them seem to be marketing people, and it's just really getting kind of down to the wire over in Finland. I think they're probably down to about maybe under 1,000 people now who work there. I don't know how many worked there in the heyday. I don't remember, but it's just part of Microsoft's overall part of the strategy that they announced last July, which is we're really going to cut back on Windows Phone. We're going to have fewer phone models. We're going to really pare down who's working on that product. We're going to be focused on which kind of models we field out there. And that's the reality. So just, it's not good news. It's not a plus, but just to know it's still going on and still there's still more room for cuts, I guess.
What's the
interesting conversation? I think I was having it with Paul. Is somebody questioned us. They said for many, many years, Bing was losing money. And we never really heard about these drastic cuts occurring inside of Bing. Mm-hmm. And there's been other profit centers that have had tough challenges, but we never really heard of cuts like this. And so what kind of Paul and I deduced out of this is that with Bing, they saw a path to profitability. They saw how they were going to get there and how they were eventually going to make money. And they are now making money. If you remember, for many years, analysts were saying, sell Bing and Xbox and whatnot. But they saw how they were going to make money, which makes it, with today's news, kind of makes me wonder if they're looking at Windows Phone. And we knew that they were losing, it was like 13 cents for every phone sold for a while. That they didn't see a path to profitability. So they just started cutting like crazy, trying to get anywhere close to it, would be my guess.
Mm. Yeah.
What's the minimum involvement Microsoft can have with Windows Phone and still have it be, you know, they want to not bleed. They clearly have to do the platform. I mean, it's obvious they're committed to the platform to the degree that they're going to keep making them. But what's the minimum they could do that would satisfy whatever requirements they have
And I think we're about to find out.
Yeah. I know. I think we are, too.
I really think we are.
What do you think the minimum is? Like just a couple of handsets? Like, I mean, that's what Google does.
Six.
Google does two handsets.
Right.
And in many years, they've only had one handset. That's all they need to do to say, look, we're an Android, we do Android, and we eat our own dog food and whatever, you know?
I think that the part of the business Microsoft cares about is the operating system and the services, right? So I don't see them ever getting rid of, or at least no time in the near term, getting rid of Windows 10 Mobile, the operating system. But I think their idea is we need to keep our hand in the mobile space with phones, but we don't really need to make it a top priority for us, because more and more Microsoft is in the hardware business on a bunch of different platforms. But I think they realize like phone, that ship's kind of sailed, right? They have 1%. So I think they're okay with having a few handsets.
Well, they could go as few as one, really.
I know. The question to me is, okay, once you get below 1% market share worldwide, how long do you keep betting on the platform?
But you're not. Well, Google seems to me the best analog for this. In fact, they're I think an exact analog for it. They don't, I'm sure, make money on Nexus. They don't really need to do more than one. They do two, but that's this year. They only did one last year.
Their phones almost feel more like reference devices.
Yes, they never refer to the profit or the sales. They don't, they don't break out their Android device. Now they have it's a different situation where they have a very vital ecosystem and lots of third parties. As you said, 74 Android OEMs are.
Right.
I mean, that's a fraction of the total. I mean, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit different. But in this, I think Microsoft could get away with one. Or two, maybe one low cost, one high end.
Right. If they only made a flagship phone and a budget phone, would that be okay?
Right. And then say this is our reference, even though we have no OEMs left.
They actually, what's weird? Lately, they're adding more OEMs back.
And those are the low cost developing.
Some of them, but some of them also, the Alcatel phone that just came out last week, that was a new one. There's rumors about an HP phone. There's rumors about, who else, Brad? There's a bunch of rumors.
Dell is a rumor that they're...
Right.
So, Mary Jo, I want to get your opinion on this. So we've been talking about Microsoft cutting kind of backdoor deals. Do you think that they would ever say, hey, look, if you build Windows phones, we'll cut you some OEM licensing fees?
Yeah, maybe. I could see that.
And that's how they're going to wean themselves off of building phones. They can say, hey, look, all the major partners build at least a device. Go shop with them or buy our Surface phone or our entry phone.
I could see it happening.
Yeah. I'd be curious. The only reason I question why they want it is that's such a solid revenue driver for them.
I know.
And they can only do so many deals before they, they run out of cash flow.
Right.
But...
Isn't a moneymaker though?
Well, patent licensing
is. Patent is, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But really, why would you use that leverage to promote Windows Phone? I mean, what do you really?
I don't know when your back's up against the wall.
But I mean, don't you think they've already acknowledged it's done? They wrote it off. No.
I mean, they wrote off the Nokia business, the hardware business, right? But they never said we're going to get out of the mobile space. I mean, I think Microsoft's still a platform company, meaning software and services, right? So, they have the handset business, which, by the way, Nadella supposedly really never even wanted to buy.
Right.
That was a Ballmer thing.
Right, right.
But I think they know they have to have some presence for Windows in mobile. Like, they just can't say... Windows is only a desktop PC and a tablet thing, and we give up on mobile. I don't think they can really do that, mostly because their play is universal Windows platform, and that means Windows everywhere. So I think they have to stay in it.
But I don't think they have to make handsets.
I don't think they have to be the handset maker, maybe.
I'm sorry, I've been watching too much American Idol.
I've got a pretty strong conviction that Microsoft is going to stay in this game for Continuum, for that ability to take your phone and dock it and get it onto a larger display. Because I think we can all agree to some extent that your phone one day will eventually be your PC.
That might be more strategic for them, yeah.
Right. And it's a strategic play because they might look at it and say, you know what, for the next 3 years, we're not going to make a lot of money or sell a lot of smartphones. But as soon as that transition occurs, that people start tearing, you know, you take your phone and you dock it, and you're to your PC, you take it to work and dock it and everything else. They're building out that infrastructure now for when that moment arrives. Windows Phone will be ready, but it's not so much a feature you want to buy a phone for today.
Right. What was the name of that startup this week that talked about a tablet that you could plug up? NextDock. Did you hear about that, Leo?
Oh, what's that?
NextDock. So they announced that they're seeking funding for a laptop that's powered by your phone. So it uses Continuum, I think, on Windows Phone. You plug it in to this laptop chassis, basically, which has a battery and a keyboard and a screen. And then you can use your phone to power this thing that acts like a laptop almost.
How different is that from Continuum?
It's powered by Continuum is what it's doing.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So they have an OEM for Continuum, basically.
Yep.
I mean, they have one.
All they're selling is a clamshell with a display and a keyboard and a connector to connect to your phone.
Oh, I get it. So they're selling the peripherals.
They are. So and instead of like...
As a package deal.
Yeah. Like Continuum, you use the dock and you can hook it up to an external monitor, a TV, your keyboard, your mouse. It's not very portable, right? But if you had this thing and you had Continuum, you could bring this as your laptop in your bag and use Continuum. That would be the power for your laptop. So maybe they're betting on that scenario as being the winner.
Somebody in the chat room said, oh, it's a terminal.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It really
is. It's like a Chromebook, right?
Oh,
it's a Chromebook powered by your
phone. I remember those.
Leo, do you remember, Mary Jo and I were talking about this, do you remember the Palm Folio?
Yeah.
The device totally tanked.
Yeah.
But that's what this
same
is.
Same idea.
Exact same idea, except I think that thing was trying to sell for like $299-ish when it came out.
How much is
this? And $79.
Good deal.
Yeah,
so I'm still wondering who is the market for this. And maybe it's not in the US. Maybe it's a developing nation product.
It's one of those
like
things.
Like if you can only get one computer, like you need a phone and this is your computer and your phone.
Yep. I think that's the point. That's why I keep saying 3 years.
Or Salesforce, right? A Salesforce, not meaning Salesforce the company, but like you get somebody on the road who needs to do stuff and they don't need like a fully powered computer, right? They could do it on their phone, except they need a bigger screen.
Yep.
Yeah, but I bet if you're carrying this thing, you're carrying it the equivalent of a full computer, right?
Yeah.
So it would be, I guess if hotels had them in the room. But,
well, think of it from an IT perspective, too. You're outfitting your sales team with a $79 piece of tech, right? Mm. It's $79. If they drop it in a puddle, it's $79.
Is it pretty lightweight and small and compact?
I don't remember the exact specs of it.
Let's see. It's $149. It's a 14-inch display. Does it say anywhere where the weight is? I don't think so. It looks like a fairly lightweight.
If you're carrying this, you could carry a laptop.
You could. But what if you could carry this?
The only advantage is your phone has
everything
on it. You have one device.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
I don't know. It's not for me, obviously.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't deprecate it. But I'm trying to think of the use case, and I guess the salesperson's one.
Maybe.
Yeah. We'll be curious to see how well it does because there's Android devices that do this. There was the Motorola Atrix many, many years ago, and now even on sale today is I think it's Asus Padfone.
Yeah, they keep trying this. It's not is not new, and I don't see the market.
It's not a new idea.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about this is that Continuum experience is essentially Windows RT. It's very, very similar in nature and feel, and that obviously did not work out so well. But I wonder if consumers are willing to buy into it in this kind of a mobile experience.
Yeah, you're right. Didn't do too well for
It didn't do too well for anybody.
That's interesting. Well, and Windows Phone, I get the sense, I haven't done it yet, but I get the sense is better suited to this kind of thing than, say, Android. I mean, I have a Pixel C tablet, which is a key. It looks like a mini Surface, like a Windows RT device, but with Android. Android is not well suited to this. You know, it doesn't take advantage of the screen size. A lot of apps don't rotate. I mean, just all sorts of little niggly details that just make it not very pleasant. But Continuum and the Windows Phone OS are better suited to this, right? I mean, have you guys used it?
Yeah. I've got a Continuum dock right behind
the
monitor.
Would you use it all the time?
No, not never. Yet. I wouldn't say never.
I've got a full piece.
You know, if in a pinch, if I found myself in a conference room that had a Miracast display and I could go find a Bluetooth keyboard from somebody sitting in the office, yeah, it would work. It would work perfectly fine just in that scenario. It's not meant to be a daily driver yet, yet being the keyword.
Actually, that's an interesting scenario you just described. If I don't have to, if the base station is cheap enough that it's everywhere and I don't have to carry it around with me, I could see the advantage of that.
It's getting there. It's one of those things. This is a long-term view of the market because that's the only approach Microsoft can take right now.
That's not so, though things aren't so good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Nope. They're not playing for the quarterly report, that's for sure.
That's usually what that means. Okay.
I think we have one more mobile thing.
This is a minor thing, but I guess... kind of significant. Mix Radio was a Nokia product, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was. And the word on the street, actually a very public word, is that they are shutting down the Line music service that they... Line shuts down Mix Radio.
So Line's like WeChat. It's a very popular in Japan chat application.
And they pulled the plug on Mix Radio.
They bought Mix from Microsoft as Microsoft spun that part off. How much... Do you know how much they paid for it, I wonder?
I don't know that answer.
No.
It was a private transaction. I'm sure it was non-material in any way.
But a lot of people thought Microsoft was going to keep Mix Radio, right? And somehow integrate it with Groove as they went forward. But they weren't interested in that one.
Yeah.
These things happen.
I wonder if that's a really complex licensing and legal issue by doing that.
I think it's just a killer business. You don't want to be in this business.
Yeah.
I
mean,
yeah, it's really low margin.
Yeah, that's the real problem. The record companies hate you. They really squeeze every penny out of you, so it's hard to make money.
Right.
Yep.
I'm wondering how long Groove's going to stick around, to be honest.
That makes two of us.
Yeah.
Well, they're in a tough spot, right? They're fighting against... Google? Spotify is kind of the brand family.
Spotify's the one independent that's kind of dominating.
Yeah.
I mean, Kanye's lost $53 million, we now know, on Tidal. He's broke, but he's hoping Mark Zuckerberg will bail him out. And, you know,
you should ask Bill Gates. Why didn't he ask Bill?
Yeah, you know, just didn't think of it, I'm sure. It'll come to him. He's probably going to ask Donald Trump. Spotify's surviving, but then most of the others are affiliated with hardware or, you know, big companies like Apple,
right?
Google, Microsoft. And I could see how Apple and Google, for instance, keep theirs going because they don't have to make money. It's a sideline for them that promotes other businesses. And you could maybe make that argument for Groove, or could you? Is Groove in any way valuable to Microsoft?
I mean, they make money off of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's because they're selling music, right?
They sell Groove Music Pass, and they bundle that sometimes with other services, bundle.
They've broken it out to say that that's profitable. That's interesting.
So the interesting thing I think about with Groove is, so Groove is a potential cash grab from a consumer from Microsoft's perspective, right? They gave away Windows 10 for free to everybody upgrading. So they needed to try to find ways to make money post-installation. So they have Office 365, they have Xbox Live. And so I think for them, they look at Groove as saying, hey, you know what, here's another app that's pre-installed that they could potentially get a sale on. And I think that's why they would keep it. And that's just about the only justification I've ever really conjured up in my head.
It doesn't seem too congruent with Microsoft's other businesses, to be honest.
Except for Xbox, it kind of fits in there, right?
Yeah. I'm never tempted to listen to groove music on my Xbox, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Or any music, because you have so many ways to get your music into your system.
I really like groove. Paul and I always joke we're the only two groove music subscribers. I know there are more than two, but it's really a good service. They have a lot of music on there. If you're a Windows user, it makes a lot of sense for syncing across and being able to put some of your music in OneDrive. It's a very good service.
For a long time, Groove did, in fact, have the most music of anybody, the 30 million songs. I don't know if that's still the case, but it just doesn't seem like it fits too nicely.
It feels like an outlier with some of the other kinds of services that they have, for sure.
But so
how do you make a case that's a productivity service, which is their thing now? I don't know.
What? The Groove's a productivity service?
No, you know how they try to say everything is a productivity service?
Because our programmers have to wear headphones.
I mean, they say Minecraft is. I can see that more than I can see Groove, right?
Maybe you can turn the music on, get in the zone, and pound out some quality.
You know, I just want to say this about Minecraft. Microsoft has actually been a pretty good steward. Everybody was very nervous about what would happen.
Yes, they have. They've done.
And they've done nothing but good things, at least to my mind. I'm only recently converted to the Minecraft faith, but I feel like Minecraft is thriving under them. And now with some education initiatives and the Raspberry Pi, it's great, you know.
The Minecraft with one thing they've never done that I thought would be really neat, because they do a lot of stuff with 3D printing, right? It would be cool, like, if Microsoft Stores had a 3D printer,
right,
and you could take your Minecraft creation to that store.
There is a plugin. There's a Minecraft plugin that lets you exactly that. So that it would be exactly right. But didn't we see in the New York store this whole Minecraft table?
Huge.
Yeah. I think Microsoft understands that, and I think that's one way of getting families into the Microsoft Store. And I think Apple doesn't have anything like this. Google doesn't have anything like this. Minecraft is a huge asset. You know, when they spent $3 billion, everybody went, wow, they got a deal, I think. They got a deal.
And it was overseas cash, so that made it all the
they
better.
They had to spend it anyway. They couldn't bring it home. Just sitting in an Irish vault. Drinking whiskey. Anyway, that's a complete sideline. Who did you say is playing Minecraft, Mary Jo?
Paul.
What?
Yeah, lately on Windows Weekly, he's been like, I'm really getting into Minecraft.
I am too. What? No, you're confusing him with me. He is too?
Yeah.
Oh, we have to talk. I'm running three Minecraft servers in my house now.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
How many are for you versus your son, though?
Well, so one's for my son, and I was going to be playing with him in that until he and his friends griefed me to tears. They made me cry. So I created my own that only I play in, but it's because it's persistent. It's nice because you just go in there, and it's fun, and you can, you know, mess with it. And then I'm running a third server that is the old – we had a Minecraft server in the basement that – Chad, OMG Chad, with his Minecraft show, and a bunch of our chat room guys built the most gorgeous city you ever saw. I mean, it's amazing. And somebody had backed it up, thank God. And I asked around, and one of our chat mods, Scooter X, said, oh, I think it's here. And I found it, and I downloaded it, and I ran the server. So I'm running it. It's like a museum, but it's like I have a little museum on my – and you'll like this. I'm using the – ridiculously expensive but completely useless Mac Pro.
Oh, goodness.
To run. And that's all it's doing is running Minecraft servers. But I could put like 20 on there, no problem. There's plenty of horsepower. It's fun. It's really fun. I'm really enjoying it. It's a fun game. I was up in the middle of the night playing it. And then lightning struck me and blew up my house. I had made a beautiful house.
Aww.
That's all right. I made it out of stone, so it only blew up the wood part. You don't care. I know. You don't care.
Three little pigs all over again.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's good because I recently read I want to play in hard mode, and they said if you're going to play in hard mode, make sure you have iron doors and a stone house because you don't want to get blown up. So I had remodeled because it was all acacia wood. Why am I saying this? I'm so sorry.
The people care.
You got
the
me started on Minecraft.
No, people on this show care about Minecraft.
Yeah. It's got a big following, that's for sure.
Well, and that was where it came up, which is I think Microsoft is being good to it. I feel bad for this Marcus Persson, Notch. He's apparently purchased a $70 million home in L.A. and has some friends, but...
Exactly. He's feeling sad.
Notch, I'll be your friend, and it's not because you're rich or famous, but because I think you're genius. I'll be your friend, Notch. I'll come down and visit your candy room.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's take a break after that shameful admission. Coming up, though, we're done with mobile. You'll be pleased to learn. And Minecraft. We move on to Windows 10, and I have a big question for you. And Microsoft. What the H-E double hockey sticks is going on with my Surface Book? I thought I was going to have a fix this week. We'll find out. But first, a word from Wealthfront. Everybody, I think, knows by now that you should be saving money, right? For your retirement, sure, but long-term goals like buying a house, buying a yacht, putting the kids through college, all of these laudable. But what are you going to do with all? Okay, so you're putting $1,000 a month aside or whatever. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to put it in the bank? You know, there's now savings accounts with negative interest rates. Like, what the? So, obviously, a savings account is no better than a mattress. In some cases, apparently worse. And a mattress is not a good idea either. So, what do you do? Well, you have a couple of choices. You can invest and manage it yourself. Which is what I, as a good geek, I thought, hey, online investments, I'll put it, I could keep it. And I forgot about it for years and then went back and said, oh, I should probably have been paying more attention. Or you do what most people do, you hire an investment advisor. But beware, because investment advisors cost between 1% to 3% a year of what they manage. Not of what you make, of what they manage. That means you have to make 3% more just to break even. It's expensive, and not to mention the hidden fees, the transaction charges, the stuff they come up with. With Wealthfront, not 1%, 2%, 3%. It's 0.25%. And by the way, this is the best management you can get because it's not a human being. Human beings are flawed. Sometimes they have their own, you know, beliefs. Sometimes they just don't pay attention. Maybe you're not a big client, so they don't, you know, manage your money very well. Wealthfront's a computer. It's a computer running software designed by the best minds, 200 years worth of investment experience, the best minds. In fact, on their Wealthfront advisory board, Burton Malkiel, who wrote a really great book, which I do recommend, A Random Walk Down Wall Street, Charles D. Ellis, who's written many investment guides, including Winning the Loser's Game. These guys know the ins and outs, and they've built their brains into the Wealthfront software. And what's great is it monitors your portfolio around the clock. It trades regularly. Now, we're not talking day trading, but it's using that kind of technology to keep an eye on things and do things like tax loss harvesting and direct indexing that really your traditional advisors probably don't even know about, let alone do, and certainly don't do every hour of every day. 90% of portfolios out there are not invested the right way for long term. With Wealthfront's new portfolio review, you can see if your portfolio is at risk, your existing portfolio, how diversified you are, what you're losing to fees, even minimize your taxes. And they'll do that for you for free. I want you to read up on it. This is Nobel Prize winning academic research. This is the best stuff. We hear from so many fans who've used Wealthfront now, thanks to Twit and our advertisements, and they just love the diversification they get, the feeling that they're participating in the technology revolution. No wonder Wealthfront's got almost $3 billion under management. They're growing so fast. Right now, you can go to wealthfront.com/windows and sign up and get a free personalized investment portfolio. You'll see the customized allocation they recommend for you personally. Now, it's only $500 to get started. That's the minimum investment. I'm not saying do that right away. I do want you to read up and find out what they do. It really is impressive. And start with $500, but they will manage your first $15,000, not for 0.25%, but free forever. Join the many listeners who've seen huge success with Wealthfront. Wealthfront.com/windows for that free portfolio. Wealthfront, Apple.com/windows. It's going to change your life. Leo Laporte, Windows Weekly. Paul Theriot has the week off. He's taking a vacation with his family. Not in Europe. He's going to an even more exotic destination. Mary Jo Foley's neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. In New York, New York. But filling in for Paul this week, the great Brad Sams from Petri. And Brad is actually executive editor of Theriot.com as well. Joining us from Cincinnati. We were talking chili earlier. He likes the Coney dog with chili.
That makes me want one now.
I know. Me too. That's why I did that to you. All right. Windows 10. First of all, can I just... I don't know. Did you mention the Surface? No. In your notes. I'm just looking at your notes. Brad, I had heard that Tuesday I was going to get an update for the Surface Book that would fix all my woes.
So, obviously, Tuesday did not happen, but I did just get word that it is happening today. So,
Okay. Be
on the lookout for... That should
now,
be happening,
is this a
I believe, today.
Firmware upgrade, a hardware upgrade? What exactly is going to happen, you know?
So there should be a firmware upgrade, and it should allow these sleeping beauties behind me to actually sleep and recover gracefully and not turn into portable thermos heaters. That is about all that I know that's supposed to fix that update, but we should hopefully be seeing that today. I'm pretty confident we're going to see it today.
So it's just, is it... Because there's other issues that we've seen. I don't know how universal they are. But is it just the sleep, the hot bag, so-called hot bag issue?
The hot bag, the hot pocket.
Hashtag hot bag.
I don't have all the details of the firmware update, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, when it comes,
just
we'll know,
that,
right?
Yeah, it should be here in the next few hours. At least that's what I've been told. Hmm. But the heat sleep issue should hopefully and finally be killed. And these things should be... You should be able to close the lid with confidence now, like you should have been able to in October, but here
That's
we are.
That's a good slogan.
We'll see.
I like that. Close the lid with confidence.
Do you know, Brad, have you heard, is this going to fix Surface Pro 3 sleep issues? Because some people are still having those also.
I unfortunately don't know. I know this is a Skylake-related update.
Is it? Okay. So
I mean, that's the issue, right? The issue, I could go on and on about the issues that, essentially, this was Intel's fault, but Microsoft took the fall for it. The chips, depending on who you talk to, had a lot of issues. People weren't very happy with them, the quality and the features, obviously the sleep issue being one of them. And because Microsoft was first out of the gate with brand new hardware, we see Microsoft essentially taking the fall for what Intel conjured
up. But didn't other OEMs have... I mean, weren't they able
other
to
OEMs have Skylake.
Yeah. I mean, you can't...
Yeah, but there
they're
are
not
some
having
issues,
the issues.
There's a couple, but
no, they're not having
the key here is that the way that we know that there are some problems with Skylake is actually how Microsoft announced support for it for Windows 7 or Windows 10 on Skylake for business machines. Or sorry, was that Windows 7? Windows 7 on Skylake business machines. They're only supporting it for 18 months because of what they actually had to go back and do to enable that chipset to work well. And that came out, 2-3 weeks ago, maybe a little longer, where they announced and said, hey, OEM machines for businesses with Skylake running Windows 7, we're only supporting them for 18 months.
Right.
And that's because of the additional workload they have to do. And from my understanding, that's not a kind of backdoor way to say, hey, upgrade to Windows 10, like knife in the back type thing. It's a legitimate reason that they had to dedicate more resources for this than they were anticipating. So we'll see. But anyways, Microsoft took the fall for Intel's Skylake debacle. At least that's my viewpoint of it. But you know what? Then they shouldn't have shipped the hardware if they knew it was going to be this bad.
Hey, you know what? All will be forgiven if it fixes it and it works. I really love Surface Book. And even with these problems, I mean, I just keep it plugged in. But love it.
It's a great machine. Yeah. I use my Surface Book just about every day.
A little pricey would be the only negative as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful machine. I love the screen. I love the form factor. I love the pen. Do you detach your screen ever, Brad?
So this is really, interesting kind of funny question. So Paul and I were in New York together, was it 2 weeks ago? And so we're sitting across from each other and there's some other people in the room. And Paul was joking. He's like, you know what? This should have just been a laptop. I never detached the screen. And then 10 minutes later, I had something on my screen I wanted to show people. and not even thinking about our prior conversation, I just popped the screen off and showed people, and just they just passed it around the room, and I redocked it. And Paul looked at me and he said, "You know what? Maybe that does work." So I am probably 5% detached, 95% attached. But when you need it, it's convenient. I
actually do it when I'm sitting and watching TV and I'm running the New York Times crossword puzzle app, which is bundled with it, probably for that very reason. Yeah. If I were an artist, I might do the same drawing. But most of the time, I kind of agree with Paul. This would be better. They would have had fewer problems had they just made it a laptop, right?
And that's where I completely agree that just a proper ultrabook would have been fantastic.
Would have been happy.
Because you can just pass that around if it's light enough.
Mary Jo, is your Acer is not a Skylake,
it's
right?
It's not detachable.
No, I know that. But it's not Skylake, is it?
No, it's not Skylake.
Okay, so it's Haswell. So you don't have...
No,
I think it's Broadwell, isn't it?
Is it? Well, the first one was Broadwell. You got the updated one.
I think I got the updated one.
They did an update, I love that S7. I gave mine to my – when I got the Surface Book, I gave mine to my father-in-law, who doesn't use it. But at least he has a nice laptop.
At least he has.
He was using like a 25-pound Toshiba, you know?
Oh, man.
And I thought, come on, XP, really? Let's try something modern. And he's confused by it. Somebody in the chat room said they have an HP with Skylake. Doesn't have that problem.
Right.
I'm not sure Microsoft...
I've heard from several people with Skylake machines who aren't having the problem.
Yeah, I don't know if Microsoft can really blame Intel for this one. I mean, I'm sure Intel has some culpability.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's a Skylake... We know that it's a Skylake-related issue. From my understanding, it was because Microsoft adopted early chipsets. But if there's other people, as Mary Jo was saying, a wide swath not having this issue, then... There is obviously some Microsoft blame involved. That's for sure.
Department of Defense. Go ahead.
I was going to say, whenever you talk about is something an issue, it also depends on some other things too, like how the machines are built, right? You know, it's not like every machine is the same, so that it's either everybody has a problem or no one does. We know a lot of people, including me, who had the Surface Book, who didn't have the problem. So there's something else going on there. Right. Then. Just a blanket problem.
Right. No, I completely agree. Department of Defense. Big win for Windows 10. This is huge, right?
It's pretty big. Microsoft announced today that the DoD has agreed to upgrade 4 million devices to Windows 10 by February 2017. So a year from now, they'll have 4 million devices. I mean, these are machines that are already on some previous version of Windows. So some are Windows 8, 7. Hopefully they're not having any XP machines in the DoD. hopefully. But yeah.
That Missile Launch Center, we had to write, that was written in BASIC, quick BASIC on Windows XP. We can't really take that out of service. But other than that. You know there's Windows XP in a closet somewhere in the Pentagon.
I know. There probably is. Yeah. So
that's Donald Rumsfeld's computer. We're just keeping that for old time's sake.
Exactly. I've talked to a bunch of people about this deal, and they said, you know, some people said, well, the DoD has a big Microsoft customer. And in the past, in fact, they said they were upgrading everything to Windows 8. And that's true. In 2013, they said they were upgrading most of their employees to Windows 8.
Wow, that was a bad idea. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Did I say that out loud? Yeah. That must have been painful.
But you also could look at this and say, you know what? This is a pretty rapid deployment schedule for the DoD. And I believe at least some, if not all of the copies are Windows 10 Enterprise, because they're talking about a lot of the enterprise features that they think the DoD will take advantage of. It's a resounding vote of confidence if you're an enterprise looking at this thing. Okay, they must think it's pretty good if they're saying in a year everybody has to be on Windows 10.
Mil-spec, baby.
Yep. Speaking of specs, they also did announce today that they've certified the Surfaces to, here's an acronym soup kind of thing. Surfaces are now certified through the DISA Unified Capabilities Approved Product List, which means government employees now can purchase the Surfaces on government contracts very easily. So maybe we'll see more Surface deployments too inside the DoD.
I think it is a big deal. I mean, first of all, it's a lot of units, but also, as you say, I think it validates. Of course, you gave and you took away when you mentioned that they'd also bought Windows 8. So
they did. They did. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny because I don't think of the Pentagon as being on the cutting edge of.
No.
I mean, ARPANET is Pentagon. I mean, some of it is, but I feel like if you've got all those seats and all those people and all that training, that they're. And massive security concerns, that you wouldn't be anxious to deploy a new platform very often. So I'm surprised, really. But they also have probably an equally large IT department,
right?
So they have the training.
Yep.
I wonder if it is a security thing that they feel like they're more likely to have secure systems if they stay on the latest build.
That's what it says in the blog post today.
Well,
yeah,
there you go.
And it says that. It says they want to be on the latest possible security, most advanced security platform. So that's why they're saying everybody has to go 10.
And they probably have the doesn't phone home version of Windows 10 too. So, I'm being silly. In fact, for anybody who didn't read Ed Bott's takedown on ZDNet of that silly Jesus crust post, I think Ed did a very nice job of debunking that and saying, you know, you gotta do a better job of your reportage. Yeah.
Exactly.
Good old Ed. You can count on him. Skype news.
Yeah. This is kind of a little disconcerting, Skype news. And I didn't know if this was a really big deal, but I've heard from quite a few readers of mine that they are concerned. So there's two kinds of Skype consumer accounts. There's Skype Personal, which is what most of us use. And then there's a thing called Skype Managed Account. So the Skype Managed Account is where an administrator can kind of dole out your Skype addresses and keep track of what credits people have and such. Well, yesterday, Microsoft started sending out notes to people with Skype managed accounts and said, hey, guess what? We're not going to have this after March 29th this year. That was the first anybody had heard of that. It was like, you better get your stuff organized because we're taking away Skype managed. And after that date, everybody's going to be on Skype Personal. Unless you migrate to Skype for Business, and then you can administer accounts that way. So if you have a Skype managed account, you probably want to get in there and kind of clean it up, figure out the credits, and then decide if you're going Skype for Business or if you're just going to let your users go Skype Personal. I was just surprised there was no heads up. There was none, basically. I know. Usually Microsoft is pretty good about giving a heads up when they're going to phase something out like that. But no, not this time.
Strange.
Yes, odd.
Very strange.
Very odd. Very unlike them to do something so quickly that impacts their customers.
What is managed service? What is managed accounts?
So in a lot of small businesses that use Skype, they may not want everyone to get their own individual Skype account. They may want somebody to act like the administrator and kind of centrally control the personal Skype accounts of people in their business. So, in fact, these sometimes are called Skype business accounts, even though they're actually consumer accounts. So if you have that kind of account, it means there's an administrator who is kind of the central contact for all these Skype accounts and manages people's passwords, their credits. They kind of are the central point of control. That's the one they're doing away with, not the regular old Skype that we use. Not that.
Yeah, somebody asked, what is TWIT, Skype for Business or Skype Managed? No, we're just the one you download at Skype.com. That's the one.
Yeah, that's just Skype Consumer, right? Like Paul and I run just the regular old Skype, and Brad. It's not that. It's more of a thing of administration rather than like the kind of account. It's more if you're a small, it's mostly, I would say, small businesses who could be impacted by this.
There is a Skype for Broadcast, Skype TX.
Yeah.
Microsoft
acquired.
Do you
guys use that?
Well, it's an interesting story. Microsoft acquired a company that makes, you know what? The truth is, it's still consumer Skype, but you have more dials and buttons and knobs. As a broadcaster, you can turn. I can control, you know, bandwidth and stuff. And so we would like to use that. But it requires specialized hardware. You can't put it on a PC. They don't sell a software download. You actually buy hardware because that's the original company. I can't remember. It was like called Cats in the Cradle or something. But our partner, Newtek, the TriCaster makers, make a Skype TX box. I'd like to get four. I'm glad we're not using Skype TX because it was down hard last week. And in fact, Alex Lindsay, who does use Skype TX, was, I can't remember what he was doing, a big important thing, probably with the government. And it was down hard. Like there's this, so because Microsoft has centralized the servers into its own servers. So,
oops.
Yep. Not good.
Not good. Outlook.com is no longer in beta.
Thankfully.
This is so weird, though.
And they were just taking a page from the Google's book, right? Google, Gmail was in beta for like 10 years.
Yeah. And, you know, so today Microsoft said, we're taking the preview tag off Outlook.com because last May they announced they were moving people to a new experience that had all these features that were very much like Outlook for Office 365. Brad, have you ever gotten the new Outlook.com?
So the only way I got the new Outlook.com was I had to set up a dummy account for how I registered for Build. Because Build, remember when it went live? Like everybody thought the whole thing crashed. So I'd just try to register just to log in to see what would happen. So when I went to try to do my press credentials, it wouldn't let me back up. So I actually had to create a dummy Outlook.com account, and that dummy account had the new update.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. So there's for a year it's been out and nobody and people aren't getting it?
So
how do you know if you've got it? I'm going to go to Outlook.com.
No, you don't have it. I'm positive you don't have it.
You don't have it. You don't have it.
No, they claim millions of people have gotten it since May. I think I know one person who has it. I know almost no one who has it. So what they said today was if you're going to set up a brand new Outlook.com account, you can get it right away. Like if you sign up today for Outlook.com, you'll get the new experience. But if you're an existing customer like the rest of us, you don't have to do anything and you just have to sit there and wait for them.
Well, that's dopey.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind much except that my Microsoft account, my Outlook.com email address is like my Microsoft account. That's everything.
Same here.
I can't just make a new one.
No. I mean, you could. You could be Brad. You could make a new one. But
is there a way to transition your old
Outlook? No, there's no way to force it early that I can tell. You just have to wait.
What is in this, Brad? You, the one guy who has it. What is in this that makes it so wonderful?
I have it on the one account that I used for one specific email to register.
Yeah.
But at least you can look at it. The new things that are the kind of, you get an updated address book. It's built on the Office 365 backend kind of infrastructure. You get third-party app integrations, such as, there's Skype, obviously, which is there now, but Wunderlist, Yelp. And then if you want to start including GIFs in your email, Giphy is now a third-party app that can integrate. I think PayPal does as well. They showed a demo where you can use your PayPal account directly from with email to pay people.
Uber.
And it's supposed to be – what's that?
Uber is another one that's integrated.
Uber, yep. So there's quite a few that you can just tie into it. And it's supposed to be just a better email experience for the web. Yeah. And that's it. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not a small update. It's pretty significant. It's got
it looks really different.
So I should want it.
You should want it. Yes, and I want it too. In considering how old the current layout and design and features are, it will be a large jump for everyone who is currently on the blue theme or whatever the older style.
Yeah, I know what you mean when you say blue theme.
Yeah.
I know what
Microsoft told me, we are continuing to roll out this new experience to millions of users worldwide each week.
One at a time.
One at a time, I guess, yeah.
Wow. But now it's not in preview. You still don't have it.
No.
But
users
not
do not need to take any action to get this. They will be automatically updated and transferred. There's, so we don't know when, but yeah.
This is not unusual, by the way. I mean, this is This a lot of times, you know, it's slow to roll out. Mm-hmm. Although a year does seem like a rather long time.
It does. Yeah.
Almost a
year. I'll be curious. I'll be very curious to see. The thing that kind of drives me nuts is, so I got in super early on that Outlook stuff. So I think they told me my account was one of the first 100.
Wow.
Because I found their registration servers like 2 hours before it went live.
Smart so guy.
I registered, like all my family has great Outlook.com email addresses.
You did that like when they first introduced Outlook.com.
Yeah, they out. Yeah,
oh, I think so you could get anything you want.
Yeah, like, well, mine is brad@outlook.com.
Wow.
Like, I have my wife's name at outlook.com. I have 2-character outlook.com email addresses. I kind of went haywire and ruined it probably for some people.
For Brad at Microsoft is who you ruined it for.
Exactly.
Is Brad Smith still there? Or maybe he's not there anymore. I don't know. Like, what? Somebody's already got it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Don't you know who I am?
It's a blessing and a curse, though, because I get a lot.
Oh, you don't want to be
spam.
Brad at Outlook.com, right. Actually.
No.
Come to
no.
think of it.
I have a really short one, too, and I get a lot of spam online.
Yeah.
I get a lot of dating website signups. And
Like,
obviously, I'm married, and so I had to explain to my wife why I get all these, like, dating websites in my inbox that are, I promise her, are not me.
Brad, we've all had that conversation, Brad. No, honey, I did not sign up for Ashley Madison. That's just an artifact.
The craziest one that I've ever gotten was when St. Louis was in the World Series. Some guy used StubHub and used my account. And so it emailed the World Series tickets to my email address.
Nice.
I could have printed them off and gone.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I'll take it.
I'm assuming he got the ticket some other way, but they're like, here, print out your World Series tickets. And I was like, really? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, you. This is actually, next time you create addresses, create, you know, long numbered random strings at Outlook.com, because anything common, you're in deep doo-doo. I have Laporte at Gmail, and to my lasting regret, but I don't think I'm going to change it. But
yeah, it's one of those things that's street cred, right? You go and say, hey, what's your email? And then you have a good one, and people are like, wow.
But I don't even use it publicly. Really... I mean, it's my main address, but I give out a Leo at Leoville instead.
Yeah.
But the problem is that there are a lot of people named Laporte, and for some reason they seem to commonly type their email address as maryspacelaporte@gmail.com, which means I get it.
Yeah.
I get a ton of mail. A lot of it's in French. That's not for me. All right. I want to take anything else to say about this subject before we take another break.
I'd like to say something about a little tidbit I learned about Outlook this week that might be interesting to people.
Yes.
Microsoft is starting to test Outlook.com Premium as an offering, which would be I don't know what you're going to get for the money. It'll be some kind of a paid version of Outlook if they end up doing this. But one of the things I think they might bring back on this is custom domains. Remember when they killed custom domains?
Oh, yeah.
I think that might come back if they end up doing Outlook.com Premium. I don't know a whole lot about this yet, but I'm looking into it. So keep your eyes on my site. I may have a little more on that soon.
Ooh, dum, dum, dum. All I'm saying is I hope that whatever premium features they introduce, that they tie into their Outlook Mail app on Windows 10.
That would be kind of cool.
That'd be the very Microsoft thing to do, right? It's here's great premium features for the web browser, but our desktop app that we bundle with Windows 10 doesn't support any of it.
Yeah.
What do you mean custom domains? Can I be like Leo at cowboyleo.com? I mean, what are the custom domains?
Yeah, like your own personalized custom domains. You used to be able to have these with Outlook.
But there were, I mean, I assume it's a subset. Like, there are not a million of them, right? I mean.
I think it was user.
Or you mean I could have Leo at Leo. I could have my own domain forwarding. Well, I could do that anyway.
Well, Outlook did away with this.
Okay.
I'm looking for this. Back in 2014, there were free custom domains. And now It allowed you to use Outlook.com and Hotmail to manage a personal non-Microsoft email domain, such as your name at whatever.
Oh, all right.
And they gradually phased that out. Well, it wasn't that gradual. I think it was over a couple of months they phased that out. And they were telling people, if you want that anymore, go Office 365 Small Business Premium, if you still want to do that kind of thing. So there may be a case where they're bringing that back if you pay something for Outlook.com. It's all very up in the air because it's just a test at this point.
Right. Okay. Okay. So I'm not clear exactly what that means, but I mean, you could have, you know, you're like Leo at Leoville. I just changed my MX record and forwards to Outlook.
Yeah, I think you could have it if you had it before, but it was for people who wanted to add to it or bring in new domains or start a domain for the first time.
Okay.
Those are the people who are cut out.
All right. Let's take a break. We're going to talk games in just a bit. Mary Jo Foley, of course, from allaboutmicrosoft.com, and filling in for Paul Thurrott, who is on assignment. Usually that means he's got a migraine, but in this case, he's actually traveling around New York City with his family. He's had the week off, but good news. We've got Brad Sams from Petri.com and Thurrott.com. He's executive editor there. And you may remember him from Neowin. Great name, great guy. No relation to Sam's books, though, right? Was that your dad?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. When I was a kid, one day, when I was a child, I remember this day clearly. We went to Sam's Club to sign up. And I'm not making this up. We went up to the counter, and the lady behind said, "Are you related to the owner?" And my dad went, "Look, if we were related to the Waltons, we wouldn't be shopping here."
You mean it's not owned by somebody named Sam?
Yeah,
Sam Walton. Our show today brought to you by Squarespace.com, the place to make your next website. You know, we were talking before the show about content management systems and how everybody who writes for a living on the internet hates their CMS. I love my Squarespace CMS. Squarespace is hosting, the best hosting out there, tied with the best software on top of it. And yes, it's a full content management system. In fact, they even have apps for iOS that let you blog to your Squarespace blog. Really nice. But of course, you can also do it on the web. They've got a great form. My last post, I emailed with my custom email address to squarespace.com. Squarespace makes it easy and gorgeous and state-of-the-art engineering. You know, there are other places where they have, you know, site-building tools. But the problem with that is you can always tell that it's done that way because they all look kind of the same. They're inflexible, and they're not state-of-the-art. This is not Squarespace. Squarespace is, yeah, you start with templates, but these are templates designed by the best designers working on the web today, the best engineering behind it. So every template, for instance, is mobile responsive, looks great on any size screen from a Nokia 650 all the way up to a 180-inch pixel perfect screen. I mean, it looks great. And everything when you put a picture up is they automatically all the different size thumbnails. I mean, they just really do it right. They all have commerce built in. So that every site looks great. And when you start setting it up, you don't need to know HTML or JavaScript or CSS. You just drag and drop, click, make it a beautiful site. But if you are a web guru, if you are a developer, you're going to love the Squarespace developer platform. You get full control over everything, your site's HTML, your CSS, your JavaScript. It provides you with a JSON API so you can actually access the content in the CMS directly. And this is actually kind of fun. You can look at, once you flip the developer toggle, you can look at the templates. You can look at the code. You could start with an existing template, or they have a base template that's, you know, just no design at all, but you can do anything you want with it. You can use SFTP and Git. So you can work locally, upload it using Git to the repository on Squarespace. Nice setup. And of course, you get all the great things that Squarespace offers, including a free custom domain name with an annual purchase. And yes, you can get your email through them too. Power your business with Squarespace Commerce. Every single template has commerce built in. That means your store online is going to look like the rest of your place. It's not, you don't get shunted off. Your customers don't get shunted off to some plain Jane shopping cart. It's all part of your beautiful Squarespace site. I love Squarespace. LeoVille.com. My personal blog is on Squarespace. This is the cover page feature with this great slideshow. And it was so easy to set up. And then, actually, I got to get a picture of me and Paul and Mary Jo on this site. I don't have one up there. I've tied it into my Facebook just with a simple click of the mouse, my Twitter, my Instagram, my YouTube. I've got an event calendar on here. Now, don't judge me for the design, by the way, because I haven't put any effort into it at all. So, but I kind of like the simplicity of it. I have my blog is here, where I post semi-regularly. I am such a fan, and I know you will be too. So I want you to go right now to squarespace.com. Try it for free. You don't have to give them a credit card. Do use the promo code Windows, though. That way you'll let them know that you love the show. And you'll also get 10% off, kind of a reward. Squarespace.com. And developers, try the developer platform. It's mind-bogglingly good. Squarespace.com. Use the offer code Windows. Squarespace. You should. You totally should. You totally should. Paul Theriot is not here. Mary Jo Foley is here. So is Brad Sams filling in for Paul Theriot as we talk about Microsoft. Now, Brad, I don't know. Do you like games at all?
You know, I kind of do.
Okay. Mary Jo, we'll be back with you in a few hours.
Now, you should have seen when we were doing the show notes today, I sent Brad the notes, and I'm like, do you want to add anything on gaming? And he sends them back, and it's at the top. I'm like, no, it actually goes at the end.
I tried. He tried. Paul would be proud.
I just got a massive Xbox One. I hate this. This is the one thing, because I run my TV through it. So mm-hmm. I wanted to sit down and watch the Grammys or something, and then I had to turn on my TV, and it says, oh, good news, you got an update. Now, you cannot get around the update and watch TV, I don't think. Maybe you mm-hmm. can. Maybe you could say cancel. But the last update was three gigabytes. It was huge.
Yeah, they're not tiny.
Sometimes they are, but this one was gigormous. Mm-hmm. I do love my Xbox One, and I use it all the time. I love being able to stand up and say, Xbox, pause, go get a snack, come back. The TV show's still going. Do you game on the Xbox?
Oh yeah, it's right behind me.
I love the work. Xbox One. I do too. I really do.
and speaking of games, what is it?
Quantum?
The Rock? No, I can't think of the name. It's Rocket something. Just
Rocket
came out.
Launcher.
No, the soccer game.
You've been listening to Paul on Call of Duty a little too much.
Rocket League. Yes, Rocket League just came out. I've actually been playing quite a bit of it.
See, that's one thing I don't do. Paul and I are not the sports game guys. You know,
I'm not.
He likes to kill people.
But this is, imagine like micro machines with rockets on them.
Ooh.
And you just hit a ball.
So there's not players, there's robots.
Yeah, it's just, you drive around in a car. It's really.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Yeah. They're 5-minute games. It's a nice little like.
Fun.
Yeah, like you're eating lunch and whatnot. You just want to go drive around.
Is it cooperative? Is it one single player? What is the...
So it's it can be one player up to four players.
And is it cooperative mode?
Yes.
Oh. So I'm looking for good cooperative games because Lisa says, I want to play on the Xbox with you. And there aren't that many good cooperative games. I mean, she doesn't really want to play the Lego Star Wars game.
Yeah, it's very much a casual sports game.
But this sounds like fun. I think she'd enjoy it.
Oh, it's great fun.
Yeah.
It is great fun.
We play Mario Kart all the time on the Nintendo with our son.
It kind of has a Mario Kart feel, to be honest. You're not like racetrack. I mean, you're just trying to knock a ball into a goal.
Yeah.
But it's not uber competitive. And it's you have a little race car with a rocket on the back, and you can jump around and try to smack a ball into a goal.
See, Mary Jo, doesn't that
sounds
like
fun?
When are we getting the one? What was that game that was like an old cartoon from the 20s?
Oh, yeah. When are we getting that game?
Cuphead.
Oh, yeah, Cuphead.
Cuphead. I want
Where
Cuphead.
Where is Cuphead?
That's a good question.
Well, there's a big gaming announcement for Microsoft next week in San Francisco. Maybe they'll announce it there.
Are they having an event?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in San Francisco.
Part of GDC or?
No, some separate thing they're doing.
Oh, well.
Next week.
I'm not far from there. Maybe I can go down and get Cuphead.
Maybe.
Or at least ask
Satya.
Get
me a Cuphead shirt. I want a shirt.
You might even want to play Cuphead.
I don't really want to play Cuphead. Sorry.
Come on, you know you do.
I don't.
Oh, man.
Maybe one day there'll be a game I really want to play. I haven't found it yet.
Cuphead. Don't you?
It looked cute, but
yeah.
I'm like,
Don't you look at it and go, God, I want to play that game.
No, not really.
let me just, for those of you watching at home, I'll play the E3 trailer from last year.
Yep.
That's the problem with E3 is that they often advertise games that aren't even close to being coming out.
CES is kind of the same way.
Yeah, CES is exactly the same way. And you'll be getting this in the spring of 2019. But it looks like one of those old Max Fleischer, Crazy Cat cartoons. It looks like fun. It's probably just a boring old platformer, but...
But if they price it right, and that's the important thing, as long as it's not a $60 game.
What I do like seeing is innovation in gaming. You know, that's why I like BioShock so much, is it didn't look like Call of Duty. It wasn't yet another Call of Duty clone. this is not either. All right, enough Cuphead. I'm sorry.
Anyways, sorry. Back to the game.
Back to Quantum Break.
Quantum Break. So there's a couple gaming things to take out of this. So Quantum Break, Microsoft announced, is going to be coming to Windows 10 and Xbox One as a cross-buy, which means if you buy it on one platform, you get it on the other. And so there was some initial backlash to this because I believe Quantum Break was going to be an Xbox exclusive.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, hey, it's on Windows too. But it's not on Windows, I think, the way most people are thinking. It's going to be, I believe, through the Windows Store. And so, much like Tomb Raider is. And so this is kind of an interesting thing that Microsoft is trying to do. They're trying to get these AAA Platinum titles into the Windows Store. And it sounds like a good idea, right? You can go to the Windows Store. It's better content. Microsoft can, hopefully you'll poke around and whatnot. But there's some big problems that most people aren't thinking about. And if you're not a gamer, you're probably not aware of this. So any game that comes through the Windows Store, and this was pointed out by a Redditor, you'll see where I'm going with this. Like, for example, Tomb Raider that came out. If you buy it through the Windows Store and you have an SLI or Crossfire setup, that game does not support dual graphics cards. You also cannot get what most gamers consider critical, an FPS counter, which is your frame rate, will not show up. And you also can't turn off VSync. So if you have a G-Sync enabled monitor or something else, you can't turn this off. And so what this Redditor did, I believe his name was Rallyman, emailed Phil Spencer and said, hey, look, here's all the shortcomings of why I can't buy something through the store and I'm going to go back to Steam.
Yeah,
and
no kidding.
Yeah. And so Phil, granted, he did respond, which is great. You know, transparency is always great. And he said, look, and I'll paraphrase here. He said, if you go back a year ago, we are leaps and bounds from where we were a year ago. But we have a lot of work to do. And he said, thanks for the feedback. Make sure you put it on the insiders forum post and all that stuff. But that's kind of the game situation. I think Microsoft really wants to get these titles in there. But if they're really going to take this seriously, they need to... I mean, think about it. Gamers spend a significant amount of money on their hardware. I mean, I just did it. If you buy two graphics cards, that can be $1,000. And if it's not going to get supported, why would you use the Windows Store? So I see where they're going with this. And you got to be fair. When Steam launched, it was a hot mess, but it's now the de facto the platform. But here's Microsoft trying to kind of go up against it a little bit. But if they're going to do that, they need to be on equal footing. And right now they're not. So yes, Quantum Break is going to be coming to Windows through the Windows Store, and it kind of perturbed Xbox One users because they're like, we're losing an exclusive or something like that. But the Windows Store is not all it's cracked up to be right now.
Is that because it has to be XAML? Is that a limitation of the platform?
It's because it's got to fit in their framework, right?
Right.
And when the universal Windows platforms, I've heard this from several developers, are relatively underpowered for what they are.
Right.
So I think Microsoft, I'm really hoping we hear a build that the universal Windows platform is getting a big performance buff and all that. Because you think about it, why? Like, here's a perfect example. TripAdvisor just came out, and Microsoft made a huge kerfluffle about TripAdvisor coming to the Windows Store. But I can also go to TripAdvisor on the desktop, TripAdvisor.com.
In the browser, yeah.
Right, and you get more features. You get more reviews. It's a better experience in the browser. Why would I buy that app or download that app?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole different conversation than the games, but it's... They need to do some improvements on what those apps can do. Spotify is another great example, or any other app. Why would you buy or go through the Windows Store when you can just download the EXE, a classic Win32 app that gives you more features? You know it's going to be supported. Granted, it's not going to show up on your phone for the 1% that has it. But, that's
a little disappointing.
Paul really goes off about the Windows Store frequently, and I think he has some good justification for it, too.
Do you remember him ever going off, Mary Jo?
Yeah. He seems like such a level-headed fella. A little rant, and then again.
But I don't think he's off base, though.
No, but you know what? The store is fine for casual gaming. It's for solitaire.
Correct.
Candy Crush soda and stuff like that.
I completely agree.
It's not for hardcore gamers.
Mm. They're trying, though. That's the route they
want to take. Minecraft's a good example. The old Minecraft in the store is Pocket Edition, is the mobile Minecraft. It's not the desktop Minecraft, which you can still download and play. And to Microsoft's credit, they you don't need Java for it. But it's not the one in the store. The store is essentially the one you get on your phone.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And so why would you go through the store as opposed to... They do a bad job at selling themselves, and I think that's a pretty consistent Microsoft narrative across many different paradigms, is that they've got good stuff, but they don't know how to market it, or they bastardize it in some way or another. I mean, Windows Phone's a perfect example. Look at the email app on Windows Phone or the Outlook one on iOS and Android. It's the same thing. You get a better experience by going a different route for the same Microsoft product. Right. But
oh, well.
We could go on.
And would. But beer awaits. Do you know the tradition?
He does.
All right.
In fact, he is doing the beer pick.
Is he?
Yeah. Nice. Beer guy. I love my beers.
Loving my beer. You should come out for Build.
I will be.
Well, you should come to our special live broadcast. What is it, April 1st?
April 1st.
April 1st.
Yep, I believe I will be there. Paul's like, don't book your plane flight for back on Friday. We're going.
Yeah, and I imagine there'll be a little bear there. Mary Jo, you're working on the venue.
I am.
Have you got one?
I had one, but it's not going to work out. So Microsoft's helping me work on another one.
Just remember, bandwidth.
Yep, I told them.
We'll bring everything else, but you have to.
I told them.
But don't let Microsoft be in charge of bandwidth, because last time at their event, that was an issue, too.
Yeah, let's not bring that one up.
There are third-party external venues. All we need is bandwidth. And the truth is, we could do the show and not stream it live and then bring it back and play it, regular download. Fun. But I think live is fun if we can.
No, they said we're excited about the challenge and we'd like to help you get the venue.
Thank you, Microsoft. We are too. So, April 1st, if you're coming to Build, stick around for Friday afternoon, early afternoon after Build. Mary Jo, Paul, Brad, and I imagine quite a few builders for a very special Windows Weekly. And I'll be there, too. I can't wait.
Should be good.
Hey, before we get to beer, let's talk about the best way to hire. Then you can have a beer after you hire. And I'm talking about ZipRecruiter. If you're in the business... if you're a sole proprietor or, you're the chief cook and bottle washer, or maybe you're even the HR department, you ought to know about ZipRecruiter. It's not only the fastest, it's the bestest way to hire. The person you hire absolutely makes or breaks the company. A company is just the people who work for it. But hiring is kind of a pain because it always happens right at the time when you're shorthanded, right? And no one enjoys getting all those emails and phone calls. But you won't with ZipRecruiter. It's better. So the great thing about ZipRecruiter is you post once to ZipRecruiter. It posts to 100-plus job boards and all the social networks too, including LinkedIn and Twitter and Craigslist. So you get your posts your job is everywhere. Then they immediately match it to 6 million resumes, current resumes, in their database. So within a day, you're going to get lots of applications. Wait a minute. You say, I don't want a lot of applications. No, no, no. They don't go to your inbox. They don't call you. They all filter into the ZipRecruiter interface where you can quickly screen out the candidates you just don't want, rank the rest, and hire the right one fast. ZipRecruiter. No wonder ZipRecruiter's been used by over 400,000 businesses, including Twit. And you have a free trial waiting for you, as usual. We got an email from Scott, a happy ZipRecruiter client. He wrote, the recruiting process used to be so painful. Before, I'd post to several places. I'd get a million resumes, but only a few responses from qualified candidates. It was torture. But with ZipRecruiter, we post once, we get qualified candidates in one easy-to-review place. We have hired, this is the most important part, some of our best employees using ZipRecruiter. Try it right now. 4 days free. ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. And we thank them so much for their support of Paul and Mary Jo and Windows Weekly. Paul's not here, man. He's where do you think he is right now? I think he's at the Museum of Natural History looking at the dinosaurs.
I bet he's at the top of the New World Trade.
Oh, that's, you know what? We were there. We were actually staying in Battery Park, and we didn't go up in there.
Oh, well, I haven't been up there myself yet.
We went to the memorial, which is gorgeous.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. It is exactly right. It's so touching. It's so moving. And we were there on September 11th of last year.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Well, you know, because we went to Rattle and Hum the day before.
I forgot that was that day. Wow.
Yeah. And it was rare. It was quite moving. Yeah, I hope they do that. I hope they do that.
Yep.
However, Brad Sams is here from Petri.com and Therat.com. He's executive editor over there. And we'll kick things off with Brad's dream machine. Are you actually building it or just dreaming of it?
No. So before I even go down this bent, because of people love to infiltrate my inbox with this, I did not build the PC for a very specific reason. I ordered what I call semi-custom. So I didn't want to build one because Paul is building one and we were going to do a series about build it or buy it. So mine is kind of the buy it experience, a semi-custom high-end gaming rig. And then Paul is obviously, as he's talked about before, building one.
Yeah.
So I ordered one and I do a podcast on Friday and my Surface Pro 4 was not cutting it. So I needed to, something that had a nice GPU and I could, you know, I like to game. So I ordered one actually. And it showed up dead. It was the classic, it showed up dead on arrival. And so the company I ordered it through is called iBuyPower. And they're relatively known. They sponsor a lot of esports. And I heard semi-good things. So the machine I ordered is...
They've sponsored, back when we had a gaming show, they sponsored it. And we had some iBuyPower rigs. They were great.
Yeah. The first one showed up dead, and what kind of perturbed me about the whole situation was that I called him up, and I know how to build machines, so we stripped the whole thing, and it turned out to be a motherboard issue. And I said, hey, I need a machine. And granted, at this point, the machine is 2 hours old, and they said, well, you can only RMA it. You can't actually just return it and get another one.
I hate that.
And I was like, well, how long of a turnaround? And they said it was going to be up to 2 weeks. At that point, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. So I returned it, and I had to pay for the shipping back, which was like really, I was like, okay. And I even told the guy, look, the reason why I shipped it back is I just ordered another one because it would get here faster. So the second one showed up, i7-6700K, dual GTX 970s, Samsung M2 950 SSD, nice. Terabyte hard drive. I mean, yeah, it's a great machine. And granted, this one showed up and it works. It works just fine. I'm on it right now. I will tell you that if you do go down this route, I did pay for professional wiring from iBuyPower. I would not pay them again for that.
So it's all trimmed out and beautiful and pretty.
Well, that's what I thought. But to be honest, it showed up and it looked pretty bad. So I actually opened the machine up and rewired almost the entire thing.
Well, this is not an endorsement of iBuyPower, I got to tell you.
No, I mean, it's like somebody asked, I said, what would you give the buying experience? I said, you know what, 6.5 out of 10.
Not good.
Granted, the machine works. It showed up. I got all the parts I wanted. Yeah. I have a 3-year warranty on it. If something breaks, I pick up the phone and I call them and they will fix it. That's why I didn't want a custom build, because if a custom build breaks, you're on the hook.
Right. who are you going to call?
Right.
Acer?
So that was the that was the point, is I needed to be able to pick up a phone call and say, fix this, and now I can. And granted, the machine is running great. I had one little hiccup that actually turns out to be not iBuyPower's fault. It's just a DisplayPort issue. So at the end of the day, the iBuyPower machine is running well. Getting to this point took some time, but it's been a good experience, and everyone's commenting saying, hey, you should have built it yourself, but that wasn't the point.
Most people don't. In fact, I always tell people, you're not going to save money building it yourself.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I calculated it all out, and I probably would have saved $200 to $250 bucks on a $2,000 machine.
Oh, that's not bad.
I'm surprised
you were able to save it all, though. I mean, the only... Because usually, maybe it's because you bought it from iBuyPower, but I mean, if you're buying it from Dell, they buy a lot of parts. They probably get a better price than you're going to get, onesie, twosie.
And you're right. And the reason why it's more expensive is because I paid for a couple upgrades. You could probably even trim that down a little bit more.
Well, and that's the advantage of building it yourself, is you can pick all the parts. So if you got some customization, that's nice. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. And when you do iBuyPower, you pick all the...
It's like they're building it for you, basically.
No, it's exactly what you do. They have a very extensive parts list, and you go through and you pick out the water cooling you want, the motherboard, the GPUs, and they have multiple brands of the 97 GTX, and you pick out all the parts. And what you're paying for is for them to put it all into a case and get it set up. And so that you should be able to just pull it out of the box and use it as what I call a semi-custom rig. Because obviously I didn't build it, but it's not like a Dell machine or anything like that.
Right.
And it's all name brand products and stuff. So if you do go with them, just be wary. They're not a bad vendor, but they're... I mean, I've certainly had issues. You can go read the post that's on Throughout. It lays out everything.
That's a shame.
But fortunately, you know what? End of day, machine's up and running. It's running great.
How about Paul's? Did he beat you in the race?
So he hasn't built his yet.
Oh, well, you win then.
Yeah.
Screw you, Throughout. I'll tell you, we're doing, because, you know, I was a Kickstarter donator to the Oculus Rift. So getting an Oculus Rift in a few months. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that before I bought one. So I'm actually getting two Oculus Rifts in a few months. But then I realized none of my Windows machines are up to spec.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I built this.
I'm listening to your specs, and I'm thinking, that's a VR machine.
It's exactly what it is. So they recommend a 970.
Right.
And for whatever, I don't really have a good logic as to why I went with two of them, other than it looks really good in the PC case. Like, it looks really good in the case.
Yeah,
and
baby.
The both of them combined were cheaper than a 980 Ti.
Oh, that's interesting.
So,
by
about $75 or so. Yeah.
So we're building the ultimate VR gaming machine for the new screensavers. We're doing it with Ryan Shrout, who's one of our hosts. He does This Week in Computer Hardware with Patrick Norton every Thursday. He also is, of course, the editor-in-chief of PC Perspective. And they have a hardware leaderboard. They constantly update for, you know, low-price machine, medium, high-range, dream machine. We're building a $5,000 ultimate VR. So we got the chip, and we just today, and we'll show this on Saturday, I just sat down with Ryan and we did the motherboard. We got a beautiful Asus motherboard. I'm very excited. I haven't built a machine in years. It's a very different experience than it was a few years ago, I have to say.
Yes. My last machine that I built was an AMD K6 II.
Wow. That's about the last one that's my era. Yeah.
So that was like my last experience with building a machine. And I know, to your point, after digging apart this one, I really could have built one very easily. It's a lot different now than what you had back then.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But,
this is fun. It's kind of fun. I can't wait.
I definitely think the next one I build, next one I do will be a complete scratch.
Yourself. And you're talking about this on Petri.com?
So this post is actually on Throughout. I do write over on Throughout, and it was mostly because Paul is doing that build it.
Right.
And I wanted to do the buy it to just kind of, you know, compare and contrast the two different ways of getting a high-end gaming machine that wasn't from Dell or HP.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a geeky thing to do, but it's fun.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So Throughout.com. It should be easy to find, right? What is the podcast? Yeah. I forgot to ask you. What podcast do you do?
So I do a podcast every Friday. It's just very bluntly called the SAMS report. Cool. And it's really just a recap of the Microsoft news during the week.
Great. So, well, you've got
Friday mornings at 11.
A few people who are listening right now who are interested in that kind of stuff. So
yeah, it's I keep it very short. It's generally just 30 minutes. And
we haven't done a 30-minute like show us. Ever. Yeah, exactly like us. Your software of the week.
So there's two of them, actually. I'm going to steal. I think Mary Jo's here accidentally. So there's
Those are yours.
Okay, awesome. Both of them. The Universal Window Platform version of Hulu with Cortana integration is now available. So Hulu users, I know there's quite a few of them. You've now got a Universal app that you can obviously ties into Cortana and does all the fun things that Universal apps can do. And the second one is actually an app called N10. Now, the name doesn't really give it away, but what this is a Nest app for Windows users. So I have a Nest thermostat and a couple Nest Protect smoke detectors. And this is a really simple and easy way to manage your essentially your home, you know, air conditioning, whatnot, right on your PC. It's a free app, ties into your Nest account, and sits on your, you know, it's a live tile. It's a neat little app. So
sounds
those are
awesome.
Both out now. Yeah.
Very good. And now we turn to Mary Jo Foley for her enterprise pick of the week.
Yeah. So my enterprise pick of the week is Red Hat related. It's the fact that Red Hat Linux images are now available in the Azure Gallery. Anybody who can remember back, way back to November 2015, Microsoft inked a deal with Red Hat. People have been expecting this for a long time about getting Red Hat Enterprise Linux on Azure. Red Hat was one of the last Linux holdouts. Microsoft already had things like Ubuntu and CentOS and Oracle Linux and SUSE Linux available on Azure, but they didn't have Red Hat. So they announced a big partnership with them back in November, and these are the actual Red Hat Enterprise Linux images that are now available for use in the Azure Gallery. And there was an interesting statistic in Microsoft's blog post about this today. They said 60% of the images now in the gallery are Linux related, which is kind of crazy when you think about Microsoft. It's a whole new Microsoft. So if you want to pick up Red Hat Enterprise Linux 6.7 or 7.2, they are there now. That's my enterprise pick.
Very nice. And we have, instead of a code name, an acronym.
Acronym of the week.
Acronym of the week.
So I have not been a big follower of Bitcoin, I have to admit. But
well, you
I am getting more
a lot of money, probably.
I did. But I am getting more and more interested in the underlying technology beneath Bitcoin, which is called blockchain. And the reason I'm getting more interested in this is big tech companies like IBM and Microsoft are now trying to harness the power of blockchain as a service. Microsoft actually is working on something called Azure Blockchain as a Service. And what this is they take the, I'm going to try to explain this the best I understand this, which is, I admit, very limited. Blockchain technology, which is like a ledger reconciliation kind of technology. It's almost like a distributed ledger. So they're working with a number of different partners who have products in this area, and they're getting them to host these products in Azure, again, in the gallery, so that people who want to make use of these will be able to use them hosted on Azure.
That's actually really cool.
Really interesting.
So it's blockchain as a service.
Blockchain as a service.
Wow.
Banks are very interested in this, really interested. In fact, there was a proof of concept demo that Microsoft was involved in with 11 different banks, including UBS and Credit Suisse recently, where they showed, hey, here's how you could use blockchain as a service.
No kidding.
But it's not just banks. Anybody who needs to kind of have a technology where the transactions are kept in exact lockstep, any kind of enterprise type applications, insurance, medical, whatever, may also be interested in this in the future. So right now it's in a very early state. Microsoft's saying they think they're going to have a certified blockchain marketplace available this spring. But there are different places you can go on the site now and they have it like a test lab preview where you can play around with blockchain in a dev test lab kind of situation. So if you're interested in that, I have a whole post with a lot of links, and you can check that out now.
That's actually very forward-looking of them.
It
almost
is.
Surprising because I completely agree that a blockchain is huge, is a fascinating technology.
It is.
And, you know, there's people, there's a recording artist who's using it for authenticating, you know, I think your description of it is wonderful. I'd never heard it described as a ledger in the cloud.
It kind of is
ledger,
that, right?
But that's actually a pretty accurate portrayal. I mean, if you had to just kind of pick one, she's using it to sell records. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. And it helps with the piracy thing, too, because you're tied directly to that record, that digital copy. People are using blockchain for all sorts of interesting things. And it's smart for Azure, Microsoft to jump on it with Azure. I don't think anybody else, like Google's not doing that. Amazon's doing it, I don't think.
And IBM just announced this week they're going to do it.
Interesting.
Yep.
Wow. Very interesting. So the acronym, by the way, did you mention the acronym?
The acronym is BAS. B-A-A-S, Blockchain Service.
BAS is bad.
Some of our Australian readers said, oh, this ought to be entertaining in a country with so many sheep having BAS as the acronym.
BAS. And we're going to let Brad do the honors with the beer pick of the week.
Yes, the beer pick of the week is from a local brewery here in Cincinnati that I visit frequently. It's called Rheingeist is the name of the brewery. And the beer is an IPA, and it's called Truth. Now, the kind of factoid behind this beer is it's got about a little over 7% alcohol in it.
Yikes.
But it is delicious. And so after you've had about four of these, you can no longer handle the truth.
Nice.
Oh, I get it.
Is that
it.
Really why they called it that?
You can't handle the truth.
I believe that is why. Because it is, I'm not a huge IPA fan, but this is a little bit on the sweeter side. And it's one of my favorite beers. And they call it the truth. And I believe that is why it's called that.
That is funny. I love the cans.
I know. Cans are cool.
Truth, Cougar, Zen, Panther, Franz. Are those cans or are those handles for the taps?
Oh, they might be taps.
Those are the taps, I believe.
Oh, okay. It says featured cans, but it looks like tap handles. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've only ever bought it in the cans that you see right there.
And there, those look like, that looks like, man, that looks like a Rolling Rock or something. That's a classic. That is a classic beer can. Eh? Mm-hmm. Truth. Cincinnati a big beer town?
Yeah, so we've got, let's see, there's I believe three breweries actually right in downtown. So there's Rheingeist, there's Mad Tree, and I can't, the third one slipped in my mind. It's a little bit smaller, but they're all right here. They're all brewing local, and it's great.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we can call this a successful show and wrap it up. I didn't have to take the melatonin after all.
You thought it was going to be all enterprise?
I was hoping.
You were hoping?
Nothing wrong with enterprise.
Yeah. Paul Thurrott is, of course, at Thurrott.com, but so is Brad Sams. They are jointly there. Brad is executive editor. Paul, what is Paul's title? Pirate?
Yeah. Chief troublemaker.
Pirate captain?
Yeah.
Dread pirate Paul. Brad's also at Petri.com. They're kind of the same company. Where he's executive editor. And so glad to have you, Brad.
Appreciate it. It's been fun.
Mary Jo Foley is all about Microsoft, baby. That's where her blog lives. You can catch her there and on the Twitter at Mary Jo Foley. I didn't mention Brad's Twitter handle. It is a little less obvious. BD Sams.
Yep. D is actually from my middle name.
Oh.
So it's,
I thought you were just leaving out the raw.
No. Actually, I've actually never had anybody say it that way. But yeah, the D is, my middle name is David. So
Bradley David Sams.
That would be me.
That's what they're going to say when you get married and at your funeral. So, which sometimes coincide. No. Just a bitter old man speaking. Hey, thanks, Brad. Thanks, Mary Jo. Paul, be back next week?
Yep.
And don't forget, April Fool's Day, a very special Windows Weekly. That's a Friday, a couple of weeks, well, like a month and a half from now, at Microsoft Build. That should be a lot of fun. We do Windows Weekly every single Wednesday around 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC at twit.tv. You can also catch the show after the fact in on-demand audio or video at twit.tv/WW. Or on YouTube. Or YouTube.com/twit's the main channel. I'm not sure what Windows Weekly is. I think it might be Windows Weekly Show. But it's all listed on the main channel. Or you can subscribe because there's podcatchers galore for every platform. Even Windows Phone has podcatchers. And if you subscribe, you'll get every week. And you don't want to miss a week. We will see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.